I think my favorite question to ask expecting parents is, are you ready? Because they either laugh and say no, or give an unconvincing, I hope so. Well, the expert joining the show today is the first man I would believe if he said, absolutely. Welcome to the Just Dumb Enough podcast, a show that acknowledges no one is always an expert by dispelling misconceptions with real experts. I'm your host as always, Colton Petrie. My guest today is Gabriel Thomas Spartan. Gabriel is a teacher with over 20 years' experience internationally, proud owner of a number one dad mug, an author with 10 published books, and a listener of the show. He's here today to help the new parents, expecting parents, and potential parents to plan for their child's future. He's both passionate and intense about the messages he's bringing.
Listen to this one closely. 2 years before my daughter was born, we made the plan for the first 7 years of her life.
And it's not to say that that is the only way to do it. But even attempting the things he suggests puts you miles ahead of every other parent out there who is playing every day by ear and hoping for the best. Also, as I've mentioned, this is a featured podcast on the Podbean streaming service. Check it out if you're looking for a wonderful listening experience for all your favorite shows. Also, don't be afraid to drop a comment wherever you are listening at. I love to hear what everyone thinks of these shows. Let's plan for our children's future. Welcome to the show, Gabriel Thomas Spartan.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I've been looking forward to being here with you for a little while now, and here we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. I am so excited to have you on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience a little bit?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Gabriel Thomas Spartan. I am a 20-year veteran teacher of multiple subjects, both in the United States, mainly in Las Vegas, and in China, where I taught for over 10 years, almost 11 years. I am also a husband, a father, a businessman, and a writer of 10 books in 3 different categories, and the owner of First Time Parent.
Awesome. I mean, a man of many hats, to be sure.
Thank you. So I do the best that I can with the 24 hours that I have every day.
Obviously. So, I mean, you have a long history in education to start with. Yeah. Where did that all begin?
It started when I was age 4. My grandmother had already been a teacher for close to 30 years at that point. And the only person that I wanted to be like career-wise was my grandmother, and that's my mom's mom. She was respected at a level that I couldn't understand why or how is that even possible. And I'm 4 and a half years old. I don't think it was the profession that I wanted to get into as much as I wanted to be loved and revered for just being like her. And so I followed in her footsteps more than anyone else before even having my father to be the man who he shaped me to be at a very early age. But it was my grandmother who led me towards the profession of education, to be a teacher. I lived that lifestyle. I dreamt that dream for 19 years of my life until I stood in front of my students at age 23. And I could not have been more proud of myself for having chosen that profession to follow the people that I respect so much, even though they've left this world for a while now, but they're still with me and their lessons stay with me. But to stand in front of my students and to represent the very people that I respect, it meant the world to me that I stayed true to this profession, stayed true to the person that I am, and I became that person. And it took 19 years. But then for the past 20 years of my life, I've actually lived the dream that I dreamt about. And it has been the most rewarding because I had to choose wisely and I had to think of the future, how to make the future a better place. Because if I can tell you one thing, is that fathers don't live forever. And my father, from what I remember, from age 4 to age 7, that is when my father died. I was 7 years old. He was 34, but he was the man for me. You know, he was what people look up to, like Superman. He was my Superman. He was that godlike figure that I still love, and I get goosebumps and I get nervous talking about him. He died in a car accident, but he left me with lessons that you cannot read about. No one else can teach you, because he embodied the very things that he spoke. And so, yes, I wanted to be like my grandmother, but then my father was just such a figure. You know, he shaped me to be the man I am today. And every time I look in the mirror, and I thank God that I followed in his footsteps to be who I am, where I am making him proud by making the world a better place, one student, one first-time parent, one co-parent at a time.
Fantastic. And I mean, you know, chasing that dream, achieving that dream, having such good role models. Did your career kind of lead where you thought it would? Did you always think it was going to take you overseas?
No, my career almost died after having taught for 4 years, from like kinder to grade 12 in Las Vegas. I was accepted to Texas Tech University on a scholarship to for art, for drawing and sculpture way back when. And I went there and I taught there as well. So I came back to Las Vegas. I'm teaching. It's just my world was very small. And I felt like I achieved everything that I needed to achieve in the world of academia within 4 years, because I lived this lifestyle for 19 years and I observed so much and I did so much to get to that point, and then to teach it for 4 years and to master it. Most people would say, oh, you can't master anything in 4 years. No, actually, it's 19 years plus 4 years. So it's 23 years of my life. So I didn't get into teaching for 4 years. It was 23 years. Okay, you have to think of all those previous years that led to those 4 years. And I was looking online one day. So I'm also a teacher. At the same time, I'm working at Ben Gold's gym, just helping out a friend at the juice bar. Yeah, that was the best kind of bartending. So my world just shrunk to the point where I felt depressed. And I'm thinking, I need to retire from this profession because I can't expand my horizons. There's a ceiling and I've reached it. And how do I break through? So I'm looking online and I find this website that's teaching jobs in Montana. And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? From Las Vegas to Montana, pretty cool. Cowboys state, let's do it. And then at the bottom of that, there's a tiny little ad that says teaching jobs in China. I didn't even think twice. I opened my flip phone. Back then it was flip phone, 2008. Okay. Extended the antenna, called the number in Toronto and Canada. So this girl picked up and she says, yeah, you can actually do that. I didn't know if that was a possibility. She goes, can I help you? I said, no. And I hung up the phone and I thought, okay, there is a possibility. So at that point, my passport had expired and I didn't know anything about visas. I called for my passport, made an appointment to take my picture, and for my visa I call, I don't even know who I called. The lady goes, so what kind of visa would you like? I don't know, I just want to go to China. She goes, how about a 30-day visa, visitor's visa? I said, okay, it makes sense. And I know nothing about extension of visas or any of this, right? And I waited for about 3 weeks. My sister's little baby girl was born. So I held my niece for about a week or so. And then I went to China. No Chinese phone, no career there, no job, no Chinese money, no Chinese phone. It was like, if you want to take over the island, burn the boats kind of thing. I put everything in a storage and I told my family that I'll be back in 5 years. And they all laughed. They said, oh, you'll be back in like a month. I came back for the first time after 10 years with a wife. And then I went back for a year, uprooted, and moved back to Las Vegas.
Did your family reach out and they're like, "Hey, it's been over a month. What are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh, I got some time left. I told you 5 years."
Again, you have to understand that for me to expand my horizons, I needed to be left alone and not to be interrupted. I wanted to test my skills because I thought if I'm as good as I know I am here, how good am I going to be in China? Let's test it out. Let's see if I am as good. And at the same time, let's see how much I can learn to be better so when I come back, I can give more to my students back home here in Las Vegas or somewhere in the United States. So, yes, my horizons did expand. The very first thing I did was actually to get in touch with my soul and spirit. I took my bicycle and I rode it from Beijing, which would be like New York, okay, all the way to Tibet, which would be like Las Vegas. That's 2,000 miles. And I rode my bicycle. That was a 43-day trip. 37 days of riding with a calf injury, by the way, because injuries happen when you push yourself on the mountains, deserts, and prairie lands, rain, sunshine. It was in the heat of summer. Going west, I needed daylight, so I would start early and really late at night. But I found my happiness, my happy place, and I respectfully asked everyone to leave me alone. I will come back when I'm ready. I will talk to you when I'm ready. But I can't be in two different places. My body can't be in China, but my mind can't be in Las Vegas. I would be torn apart. And that's not how you extend yourself. And that's not how you learn. That's not how you expand, right? So to be in one place, I needed to be in one place, mind, body, and spirit. So after that, I met my wife and, amazing things happened. Got to walk on the Great Wall of China, hundreds of miles, proposed to her on the Great Wall of China. We went outside of the country to multiple countries, traveled, and I learned a lot about myself from other people, how to be a better human being, how to be a better teacher, how to listen, how to speak, what to say, what not to say. I mean, you become very technical if you are very focused on becoming a better person in a specific field, and my field was teaching, but then I became a much better human being, and I was a good person. But when you meet amazing people, you just can't help it but to be like those people, and so I embodied that, I hope.
Was there any part of you that was like, you're creeping up on a decade there, and you thought, what if I just stay here? Or were
I
you
never
like,
wanted to come back.
okay.
No, that was never an option. I felt that I'm comfortable learning where I'm learning because I'm expanding those horizons. And I keep saying that because it is true, right? And there was no ceiling there. And there was all these countries around China that I could go to and just learn and absorb all that information. Why would I want to come back to a landlocked city of less than 3 million people that's transient, right? And not focused on education. But we came back, and thank God we did at the time that my wife said we should move back because then pandemic started. We were here for about a year or so, and then there was pandemic and formula shortage and all this other stuff that happened. But they were taking all the foreigners out and asking them to go back to their homelands and everything. So I'm glad we did it on our terms. We came back, we started to make a living here and build our lives. And today we have our little daughter who's about to be 22 months and some amazing, amazing things that's happened since came back. So
No, I mean that's amazing as well. So your wife gets pregnant. Did you feel prepared? Like, were you reading a bunch of books? Were you listening to a bunch of shows? Or were you like, I got this, I'm locked in, I know exactly what to do?
first of all, I don't have that male ego that goes with being a man, right? You can be a male, but you have to earn the right to be called a man, to call yourself a man. You have to earn that right. And that's a whole different topic here. No, I didn't just go into it with a blindfold. Absolutely not. What I did was 2 years before Lynn, listen to this one closely. 2 years before my daughter was born, we made the plan for the first 7 years of her life. That's crazy, right? Not many people do that because being a teacher, I read a lot and I teach a lot from kinder to college and university and beyond. So one thing I've learned is that the first 7 years of a child's life is the blueprint for the rest of his or her life. You don't start the day your baby is born. As a man, you cannot do that because now the baby belongs to mommy. And then you've got two grandmothers hovering over mommy and baby. And you're the man. You did your job. You made the baby. Okay, goodbye. Go hunt, kill, and bring that home. That's basically your job. You cannot implement your first 7 year plan the day your child is born because everyone needs you in a different way. First of all, get out of everyone's way. They will take over. They know what to do. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted me and my wife to raise our child, who will be born in the present, to be raised for the future, from the present to the future, not to be given to the past by a person who will raise my child from a bygone era who is not in touch with the present. With all due respect to all the grandmothers and grandfathers, by the way. I mean, everyone has a choice in how they want to do it, but I didn't want the past to raise the present, but to be ready for the future. There's a lot of contradiction and confusion there. I want it to be very clear that first of all, I take care of our goal. Our goal is to have a child, and then to prepare my wife mentally, physically, and spiritually. If you go to our website, firsttimemomdad.com, I'm sure you'll put that up, you'll see our Facebook page. And I've reserved that for the parents that want to learn more about parenting and those who are co-parenting. The very first newsletter, which I write every month, is you see that I dreamt about having a baby daughter. The moment we talked about expanding our family, it was I needed to have a daughter. I spoke that into existence with my wife. I said, I've never asked you for anything, but I'm asking you for a daughter and want to be healthy. I didn't want to have anything be left to chance. That is not how I do things. I write things down. I want to see it. I want to see my daily goals weekly and then that ultimate objective. So I prepared my wife. And thank God I did because, first of all, we're very physically fit people. But then we did a blood test to make sure that we're healthy and we're okay. And then it was just putting little things in place so that I make sure that my wife is healthy because it's not about me. It's about my wife and the baby. It's about two people. If something happens to one, happens to the other. And something will definitely happen to me if I didn't do my job. So what happened was they told us that my daughter would be born 2 weeks before the due date, before summer, which is what we planned anyway. And then they said, well, your wife will be induced. Your daughter will be born. We named her Charlotte way, way before she was, I mean, into existence. We spoke that into existence. So then my daughter, or excuse me, my wife lost about 5% placenta within, I think, 2, 3 days. Before that, they had cut the carbs for her, all of the carbohydrates, any sugar of any type, for I think 3 months. And they told her, if you're going to run on a treadmill, it should be like 1.2 or 1.5 or something, just walk briskly. So then my wife goes into the baby part of the hospital. She gets steroid shots to strengthen the baby's lungs. And then they said, well, you're going to be parents tomorrow. It was on a Saturday like this at noon. So she was born 6 weeks, almost 4 pounds. She didn't look good at all. And then my wife looked wonderful enough that she recovered quickly. But during the time of birth to recovery in 2 weeks, my daughter was in NICU. Anything could have happened. And the nurses told me, they said, don't celebrate anything yet because you don't have your daughter until you have your daughter. And all the responsibilities that I knew I would have, I practiced it 2 years before my daughter was born. That I would have to wash clothes, put them away, take care of my wife, come home, take the milk to the hospital. You know, because as men and as women, even, we're not taught how to to go from making the baby until the baby is born. Anything can happen during those 9 months. They could be cut short. There could be a miscarriage. Like we went through COVID and we delayed that 1 year because of that, had to get the shots. So many things happen. And then she's born, there's formula shortage. So we prepared for everything, but for the C-section, we weren't prepared. But when time came, I had enough knowledge of it, and I spoke to professionals that we were ready for it. And thank God today I've got my family. They're happy, healthy, and our daughter is very, so much so self-sufficient. And here we are. But leaving anything to chance, there was no chance I was going to do that. Everything that we have today is what we visualized, what we wrote down, I mean, to the day almost. And that's when she was born. So
nice.
I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you created, I mean, number one, a very extensive plan, because I'm sure a lot of people are like, I've planned the first 6 months, or, you know, we've got a vague setup, but you're like, I've got a pretty flexible plan that allows me to be ready for a pretty extreme situation that people typically find themselves very surprised to be in.
Yeah, thank you. And the most important thing is that I built the company the moment that we started thinking about and talking about our daughter. Our company went parallel, first time parent, to how my baby was growing inside my wife's womb until she was born, until today. Every newsletter that I have, the 10 books that I published, that I wrote and published, it was while all of this was going on. It wasn't like I took a break from one, did the other. So being a full-time teacher, being a full-time writer of writing 10 different books in 3 different categories, taking care of my wife, being the family Uber driver or Lyft, depending on whatever they like, and washing clothes, going shopping, putting things where they need to be, making sure that my wife doesn't have to worry about anything, and keeping that amazing positive circle of friends of hers close to her, and removing every other negative thing and people that should not be in that circle. I removed any negativity, and this was 2 years before. Leaving anything to chance, I would have risked my wife's life and my daughter's. And to procrastinate, I never did, not even for a second. Look, I can sleep another time. I can shave another time, you know, but I need my family now. And they need me, so I needed to be there for them. Yeah. But everything that you see on the website, firsttimemomdad.com, it was built in real time in accordance with my daughter. And it's continuing, it's improving every single day. But she's the reason why I have all this. My wife is the reason why I have everything that I do have. So I'm grateful to them.
Absolutely. And people looking for that website, it'll be in the show notes. So if you open up the description, you can click on it. But, you know, you obviously planned for some pretty extreme circumstances, you know, knowing what the worst could be. Did you find a lot of things along the way where you're like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be?
This is good. So 20 years of teaching taught me a lot of teaching 5 different subjects. Not only gifted students, general education students, but students with autism, with physical disabilities, mental issues, and all of that, which I'm doing that right now. I prepared for everything because you're hoping for the best, but what if you don't get what you need? One thing that I want to be a little bit more clear with you and maybe transparent, and I hope I don't offend anyone, but ladies and gentlemen, this is what it comes down to. We know nothing about parenting. We never learn anything about parenting from K through 12, college or university, unless you specifically take those particular classes. But they're not teaching you about reality of all things. You can't hope and wish and pray for things, or you can't have that male ego that says, I got this. And I ask people, what is it that you got? Tell me something. You got what? I got this, man. I know what to do. Well, tell me, what are you going to do? Okay, so this is what I see on Instagram and such, where we start at the gender reveal. And then I see men who are disappointed that they won't have sons to bench press with. they're disappointed at the daughter. So there's a lot wrong there. And then what if there's a miscarriage between that moment that you're disappointed at the very child you're going to have until you do have? What if there's a miscarriage? What if there's a physical disability? There is an autistic child, all of this other stuff that could have been prevented and you didn't, with a simple blood test, for example, with maybe some meditation and communication, talking to, like, say, professionals like myself. These things that could have been prevented and you didn't, and you risked it. And so now you have to live with that for the rest of your life, leaving things to chance. Don't do that, because I didn't leave it to chance. You shouldn't either. You should learn as much as possible so you're not surprised by things. Now, I couldn't control the COVID part. I couldn't control the baby formula shortage. I could not control that. But everything else I could control that was within my power, such as my wife's health and her happiness, her joy, all of that, I carried that on my shoulders and I planned for that, taking her to comedy clubs. I mean, my wife, her craving was weird. But anyway, that's another story. Leaving things to chance, don't do it. Make sure that you're over-prepared for things, because there are things that will come up that you're not ready for, but at least be ready for the things that are within your reach, right? If you can do that, then things do become easier. Not easy, but you will still be surprised at how many diapers you change throughout the day, how much formula this little baby just drinks. It's draining to wake up at 2 in the morning. My wife had to wake up every 2 hours to feed our baby because she was so small. So you're going to be ready for about, I'd say, 90%. The other 10%, that's the hardest. You're not going to be ready, but when your wife says, get up and do whatever, you've got to go. Don't say 5 more minutes. There's no 5 more minutes. It's now.
And I mean, you're a very busy man. Did you find yourself extra drained? You were low energy, or you had missed a lot of sleep, or that motivation to stay so busy ever waned because, of all the things going on?
My priority is my wife, and my priority is my daughter. When they're happy, I'm happy, because that's what brings me happiness. I kind of reversed a little bit, because for 20 years, it was my students. But when you have a family, you have to start thinking more about your family. You have to become a little selfish. Maybe that's why I delayed having our baby, was because I cared so much about my own kids, my students. I call them my kids from the first day. And then I realized, in talking to my wife, that I do deserve to have my own, and I do deserve to take care of my family first. And like this airplane analogy, if it goes down, the masks drop. You have to take care of yourself before you take care of others. And so now that I'm a father first every morning before I go and teach, I'm a better teacher now. And when I come home, I'm a better father. It just works so beautifully. As far as being busy, I don't think of it as being busy. I don't think of myself as an entrepreneur. Everything that I do in 24 hours is woven in my company in such a way that if one piece is missing, the whole thing falls apart. I have to teach in that 24 hours. I have to write. I have to be a parent. I have to be a husband. I have to. It's just everything is interconnected. I'm trying to help the world, and I can't do that if I take a day off. I don't want to, because when I wake up, I know yesterday I did really good. I can do better today, but I'm working for tomorrow because I want to do better tomorrow. I want to reach more people. There's 7 billion people on this planet. I want to reach every single one of them if I can. But if I can't, then I want to leave this world in better hands than the way I found it. And I think my father would have wanted that.
And I think that's a goal everyone should be aiming for. There's a lot of people who are like, man, if I do all right, everything's good. And it's like, man, if you do okay, but you burn everything around you, like you didn't do good, you
But this
know?
is what I did, okay? First of all, thank you for that. I limit the amount of time I spend outside of where I need to be. And I've had this habit, and I'll break it down a little bit. I had the dream of becoming a teacher, and I needed to start acting like it. And for me, my library time was important. My gym time was important. To raise my standards to a level that my daughter would look up to me and say, thank you, the way I thank my father. I mean, my two physical goals were, it's like this. I couldn't bench press up to 300 pounds. I mean, it took me a long time. And once my daughter was conceived, I reached a 305 or something. I bench pressed that a bunch of times without anyone's help. I don't like to get people's help when I know I can do it on my own with a little bit of patience and time. Okay. The goal was to deadlift over 400 pounds, and I achieved that just before she was born. I mean, it took everything out of me. My wife is there, and she's pregnant. She's recording. And these videos are there on the website as well. It's called Finally, I'm a Dad. That's the YouTube channel. I needed my daughter to see all this, that the dad is working. He's not just telling you what to do. He's doing it first, showing you how it's done. And that is necessary. So I had to set the standards high for my daughter and then just keep raising that. That's where we are today.
Yeah, really leading from the front.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So, like you said, you had been extremely well prepared, and there's always this 10% that might, surprise you. It's the things you can never be ready for, or you don't know about. Was there anything in there that like really caught you off guard, or was most of it like, when it finally did show up and you're like, oh, this is part of that unknown 10%, it was pretty manageable?
First of all, I not only did I expect these things to happen, I prepared for them because you can't just look at the chart and go, okay, today I'm going through like 30 different things I have to accomplish. And you look at the goal and then you do it. No, you have to practice that. It's like adding 1 pound at a time until you get to 400 pounds of deadlifting. If you tried it, trust me, it takes everything out of you. I practice these things to go to work, pick up my wife, bring her home, cook and put things away, keeping her in great spirits. Leading up to having our daughter at home, the 10% that did show up, like the baby formula shortage, yeah, I contacted everybody. My wife did too, and luckily we received what we needed to help our baby. But there comes a point sometimes still that it's hard for me to breathe because I've got so much to do. And it's hardly ever that happens because sometimes things are out of my control and I don't like to be out of control. I don't like things to just happen if I didn't plan for it. And this is what I do. I just go and I sit in my Jeep sometimes for maybe 5 minutes and just listen to some music, just regroup, and come back. Or maybe meditation works for me. I like to meditate a lot. You close your eyes, you breathe, and you just visualize nothing. Relax, slow down your breathing. And that's what I do. And maybe the fathers to be are listening right now, and hopefully those who are co-parenting, they understand. Life can be overwhelming, but if you can just take a minute to close your eyes and breathe, regroup, come back. Life is a lot better that way. And does it ever get overwhelming? Of course it does. But imagine if I wasn't prepared. How much more overwhelming would that be? Being the only person doing like 98% of the work at home and outside and all of that. So be prepared before it happens, because when it happens, you'll know what to do.
It's that difference between needing 5 minutes to yourself and feeling terrible for days on end. We've all seen those people where they're like, I don't know if I can do this. And you hear that for like a week straight, and you're like, hey, man, you need to get it together.
Yeah, contingency plans, put them in place.
Certainly. So now, obviously, your kid's here. You've had, you said 22, 24 months.
Yeah, about to be 22 months. Yeah.
Okay, 22
I
months here.
counted in months because I wanted to make sure that I'm enjoying this time.
Of course.
That's why.
So she's around, and has she started to develop any of those like those weird quirks that kids get where you're like, well, I didn't anticipate this being your thing, but I guess it's your thing. Like when I was super young, and I mean like my dad was carrying me around, I used to basically like take spicy peppers out of his hand and eat them. And my mom came home and was like, "Are you feeding the baby peppers?" And he goes, "He likes them, I swear."
Everything that my daughter does is 100% controlled. We planned for this, I told you, 2 years before she was born. Nothing she does surprises us. It's to that point. If there's anything she does that we didn't anticipate, I would be surprised, because everything is within our control. When she goes to daycare, she's learning Spanish, English, and sign language. At home, since the moment we learned we were going to be parents, I would put my hand on my wife's belly and speak to her in English, and then listen to music. And then my wife started learning Spanish, so she would listen. That was very, very wonderful. And then she speaks Chinese, so she would start speaking Chinese with her. Nothing my daughter Charlotte does is a surprise. When we take her to the park, for example, for 2 hours a day, almost every day, and she's climbing these structures and stuff, it's all by design. Before she was even born, we thought about it, we designed it that way, and we prepared for that. The only quirk she's been having that's kind of going away is she takes off her right shoe and right sock and then puts it back on over and over throughout the day. But that's it. Nothing else surprises me whatsoever.
Interesting. You're like, I don't know, maybe the right sock balls up too much.
Perhaps.
Interesting. Well, I mean, along those ways, obviously, like 22 months and all the prior time, the prep time that you had, was there any investments you put into things where you're like, man, I am so glad I had X thing in my life because it made the entire journey way simpler or way easier?
Thank you for this question. Education was the greatest thing that I've ever invested money on. Every book that I've purchased, every class that I attended, every grade I received, and how it led me to the person that I am this day right now, it was because of education. I mean, granted, I skipped half of fifth grade, half of sixth grade, graduated as a junior from high school. Yeah, I missed a couple of years in education, but it was moving forward, not going backwards. I spent more time in college because I didn't spend the 2 years in school that I was supposed to, like everybody else. Not saying I'm gifted and intelligent. I just work really, really hard, guys. I didn't lose my hair because it's genetic. I think it's books. So the thousands of hours and thousands of dollars that I've invested in learning and teaching and learning and teaching, and this repetitive learning and teaching thing for me, prepared me for the role of being a father, a husband. My father invested in me. My father believed in me, and he knew that I would be a somebody someday. And so for that reasons, I had to continue to believe in myself, to take the money earned. That was working at McDonald's for 4.5 years, working at 24-hour fitness at night, going to school, and then finding time to sleep in the parking lot of a college for like an hour before my classes. It was all worth it. I don't care about the wrinkles or the lack of hair on my head, because this is all that my daughter respects me for. Because if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be the father I am today, and I wouldn't be talking to all of you about parenting and parenting skills and such. I'm not gifted at anything. I wasn't born a certain way. Teaching wasn't a calling. I chose it, and I saw it through. And then I lived that lifestyle, and it led me to these incredible things that I have today, and I'm grateful for.
Well, and with so many things, you know, like I said at the very start of this, a man of many hats, obviously. Do you often get people asking you, like, where do you find the time for all of this?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's one of the things that first-time parents and those who are co-parenting that I work with, they ask me, it's only 24 hours. No, you don't understand. You have 24 hours in a day. If you write down everything that you do, most of the things you do is repetitive. Some of the things that you do are very unique to that day. And hardly anything is out of the box throughout that week. But make it transparent and clear. Put it on a wall and say, this is what I'm going to accomplish in one day. And you realize that you do have 6 to 8 hours to sleep at night. But the more you invest in your family, the more you invest in helping people like I do, I get maybe sometimes 4 hours of sleep, six, hardly ever, eight. Last night I got eight, and I was like, yeah, man, look at this. No dark circles. That's crazy. But that hardly ever happens. The thing is that if I sleep and I lose my time with my family, that's one less video that I cannot make. And every video that I make for the two YouTube channels that I have, they're like movies. They're scripted, and the logistics of it, going and executing this plan and coming home and sitting at this very desk and making it happen. It takes an hour a minute for me to make my videos. And I've got 190 of them, and 17 in the other one, or 21 or something. And then writing books. Every one of these take time and effort, but if you value Netflixing and chilling on the couch, if you value sleeping, if you value playing with your phone, then you will have no time to invest in your family and then helping the world. How are you going to ever do that if you say, oh, I need some time off? Because there are people who need your help now, and you have these gifts. My goal was to give the 100 hours of the highest quality of tools necessary for first-time parents and those who are co-parenting for absolutely free. Yes, I have services that people can ask me for and they will pay for, but the first 100 hours is on me. And that's what I did. I couldn't have had that had I been sleeping or saying I need time with my friends or anything else that required me to get away from my goal. I didn't do that.
Fantastic. And I mean, to have, like I said, that drive that you have is like, it's so built and so structured that it's honestly like, it's an incredible role model to aspire to. Really, truly.
I appreciate it. It takes a lot.
Yeah, I bet it does. And this has been great. Is there any, like, when you run into first-time parents, is there any advice you try and give them? Just like, if you're like, I have one piece of advice, this is the one I can leave you with.
I do, and this might sting a bit, but ladies and gentlemen, before you even have your child and you're talking about it, the first thing your parents and your wife's parents say is that I'm going to spoil my grandchild. You are already setting up for becoming co-parents. Don't do that. Be parents to your children first. Take the responsibility of starting out early. Build that first 7 years. I mean, that's what I'm here for. Ask me for my services. Send me an email. Say, I need help. Hardly anyone that I talk to has even a plan for the first year. Even the first 6 months, I said, what is the first thing you'll do? And they don't know. Well, my mom will raise my kid. Why? What about you? Gentlemen, take responsibility for raising your own child, because the future cannot be raised by the past. It should be raised by the parent in the present who understands the reality of where we are today in life. I mean, ask me for my help. I know what I know about education, about technology, about writing books. Consult a professional before things go out of hand. Because when you come to me when your child is 2, 3 years old, now we are doing damage control. It takes a lot longer to undo the things that have been done versus to prepare for the future with a clean slate. And those who are co-parenting, I've consulted with many family lawyers, and I found the one out of 71 lawyers who work with me, and we plan that part of my website that you will see, the services that we provide. She's like a sister to me, Ashley Burkett. We made sure to have plans for people who are co-parenting and going through the challenges of being co-parents, how to work with them. And remove all that negativity that they feel towards one another, but to raise a child towards the future by working together as a cohesive unit. So if you don't know how to do that, talk to me. And don't assume that I'm expensive. Don't assume that I'm not available. Don't assume these things. Ask for help before things go awry, because afterwards, then it's like unpeeling this onion, I suppose, because now you're going backwards to put everything back together. That's damage control, and it takes a lot longer. So my advice to you is start early. Now is better than later.
Yeah. Do it right. Do it once.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Gabriel, this has been fantastic. I want to make sure people know where to find you. If they haven't already been listening, it takes people three times to actually listen to things and follow up. So tell people where they can find you once more.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to me. My name is Gabriel Thomas Spartan. I am the owner of First Time Parent. Our website is called firsttimemomdad.com. And that will be in the link, I'm sure, below. Talk to me before things go out of hand. Let's figure out a better way for the future, as opposed to just sort of letting everything fall on its own and let the chips fall where they may. No, you design it so it falls where you want it to fall. Okay, so I hope to hear from you. It has been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And I look forward to one day coming back.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here. I have appreciated your time immensely.
Thank you.
This is one of those things that no two people ever do the same. Even parents who already have two children raise the third entirely different. The hope here is that this just makes the uncertain time of your life a little bit easier with some much needed preparation. In other news, the March rankings have begun. Number 1, the United States, led by California, New York, and Michigan. Number 2, Canada, with Ontario out front. Number 3, Australia, with Tasmania holding the crown for, I think, the first time ever. Number 4, England of the United Kingdom. And number 5, Ireland. That's it for this week. Have a great week and a great weekend. I'll see you all back here next week for another new episode. Until that new episode, please do all those things that help the show grow, like rating, reviewing, liking, and subscribing. Remember, you can reach out to dumbenoughpodcast@gmail.com or on any of the social media pages if you want to reach me personally. But most importantly, stay dumb.